You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Groceries are making up a larger share of people's budgets. Nationally, food prices are up more than 30% on average since 2020, outpacing wage growth during the same six-year period, which sits around 20%. The California Grocers Association told Cap Radio that every major event, from war to tariffs to drought or energy costs, it ultimately shows up in one place, the price tag on the shelf. And a recent study from the Urban Institute found nearly one in five working adults paid for groceries with savings not intended for daily expenses, adding that about a third paid with credit cards, with most not being able to pay off the full balance. But you probably already know that because you're shouldering those escalating costs with every trip to the market. Today, we're going to take a look under the hood to understand what local grocers are facing and the tough decisions behind raising prices. We reached out to around a half dozen surrounding grocers and supermarkets of various sizes. They either declined to come on the show or did not respond to our request, except for one. Nova Weatherwax is the director of merchandising at the Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op. It's a member-owned grocer that's been in the city for more than 50 years. Welcome, Nova.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, from Raley's to Safeway, Nugget, Grocery Outlet, Save Mart, I mean, there are a wide range of options when it comes to grocers in our backyard. But what exactly is a co-op? How is your model different?
Co-ops are unique because we are member-owned, which kind of baseline means that if you are a member and you contribute to the, so you pay a member due, which is fully refundable, and then it feeds into a democratic system. So you can vote for our board of directors, who oversees our general manager, and our general manager is in charge of operations. And so essentially, the owners of our store are our customers and our members. And so there is a financial but also a political piece to it that I think is really impactful and important for people who are thinking about, you know, food sourcing and things like this with all the cost increases going on right now.
What does a director of merchandising do? What is your job like?
I get to work with all of our vendors. That's my main role here at the co-op. A lot of us in leadership wear really big hats, many hats, because it's a small business. But I get to decide what goes on the shelf. I get to decide how to price it. And primarily, I work with most of our vendors to maintain good relationships, bring in new items when new items are called for, and category management, which means essentially I decide, you know, which oat milks to have and which to not, and how to get them on the shelf.
Well, since people are seeing higher grocery prices across the board, what would you like shoppers to better understand as a purchaser working with vendors?
I think there's a lot of value in fresh products. That's what we've been seeing kind of continuing to grow despite cost increases. Our shoppers tend to be interested in foods that are more simple, more whole. So our produce department and our meat department, and actually our food service, which is totally in-house, have been seeing sales increase year over year, whereas our center store, so packaged grocery, has been lagging behind. And I think part of that is due to cost increases, but I think people are also opting for more nutritionally dense foods that they can make at home.
Walk us through the decision-making process you and your team go through on whether to increase prices on a product.
So we are constantly doing cost updates, especially in the last, you know, 5 years. It's been a much more frequent necessity on the back end for our store, and my team and I work really hard to only increase the retail price, so the price that the customer pays, when it's absolutely necessary to meet our margin goals, so that we can pay our vendors and pay our staff fairly and cover all of our overhead. So we try and do it very, very carefully and very intentionally, so that, you know, because our customers are our owners and our members, and we don't, you know, the goal is not, we are a for-profit organization, but the goal is not to squeeze at all.
Yeah. And given that you're one piece in this chain, what do you hear from farmers and local vendors? Because you do have a lot of local vendors and local farmers, of course, across Northern California and the Central Valley. I mean, what are they telling you about what's driving up costs?
We hear from folks who are, you know, they're unhappy because they have to sell us their product, you know, for a dollar or two a pound more than last year. Produce market prices have been relatively stable, depending on what it is. And so, you know, fuel charge is a big piece of it. We receive these very beautifully written, well thought out letters from our vendors communicating why they need to increase their costs. And it's, you know, it's painful. We have partners who we've been, you know, selling their food for 50 years, and the community is suffering kind of existentially because of, you know, the increase that we have to pass along in some ways. And, you know, kind of the lead up, it does hit the retail shelf. It hits the price point for that box of Annie's mac and cheese or that bottle of Strauss milk. And it's unpleasant for the entire supply chain, from the producer to the customer. Nobody's happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, does it differ when you're working with maybe like a hyper-local, smaller vendor or farmer compared to a larger company like Annie's, which is owned by General Mills?
Yeah, there's of course, a higher level of transparency, which I think is helpful for us, because then we can communicate to our customers, you know, and there's a person behind it. And so there are clear reasons why the cost would go up on something local, labor costs, you know, increased cost of inputs for farming, fuel costs. The transparency for something like an Annie's mac and cheese is much lower because we, you know, we don't have a direct relationship with the owner of that company. It's just not viable. And so there are things that go into a highly processed product. The supply chain is much longer and, you know, it's a lot more concentrated. And so we don't know where that extra, you know, 50 cents is going in a way that we do when we're talking to our farmers or our, you know, local dairy folks.
Mm. What strategies do you use to keep things affordable? I mean, do you pick and choose what products you essentially like eat the cost?
Yeah, we are able to do what they call a blended margin. So we have a couple of product lines that we keep intentionally lower. So we earn less money on each unit sold. And then we compensate with something that's a little bit pricier, that people, you know, if you're buying it, you're maybe not necessarily as concerned about the cost of it. So we are able to kind of blend things out so that we carry less expensive stuff and some more expensive stuff. So we still carry a lot of high value, more expensive, you know, specialty items, but we also try and have a really robust, very basic, I mean, we call it everyday low price, which most grocers do, so that you can do a full shop that is relatively low cost.
Mm. You know, given that your business model is different, are you actually shaped by the surrounding grocers? Do you kind of check out what's going on over there and apply it maybe to the co-op?
Yeah, we do price comparisons pretty regularly on probably our top 100 items in packaged grocery. And we try and stay competitive as much as we can. Because we're an independent, we don't necessarily get the volume deals that larger chains like Raley's or Nugget does. And we don't have the physical holding power. So in some ways we're more nimble, but in other ways we don't have the advantages that the larger chains have.
How have you seen what shoppers buy? How has that changed, you know, in recent years when at your grocer?
We've seen a lot of, you know, in natural foods, the wellness department historically has been a really strong feature of co-ops and natural independents. And really in the last 10 years, there has been a big shift to buying that sort of thing online, which is, you know, detrimental to our business because we have to kind of shrink that category. In center store, I think in general, we're just seeing people, you know, buying into more fresh foods and less packaged, just kind of as a general trend that I've seen over the last probably 8 years or so. So even before COVID, there was a shift kind of going away from the more more expensive, highly processed stuff to just buying ingredients.
I see. Yeah. So when I'm envisioning the center of the store, it's like health and wellness, like packaged goods. But when you're walking around the perimeter of a grocery store, it's usually like perishables, like you have produce, you have dairy, meats, and things like that, right?
Yes, that's correct. Sorry to speak grocery at you.
Hey, you've been doing it for a long time. You know, I get it. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Nova Weatherwax at the Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op about the rise in grocery prices. I mean, it can be arguably a common thought that, you know, a co-op is more expensive when compared to other grocers in the area. I mean, how do you respond to that? Are there misconceptions about co-ops?
Absolutely. I think in general, there is a sticker shock factor because we do carry a lot of specialty items. You know, we have probably a $30 olive oil on the shelf that is, you know, organic and hand processed from 20 miles away because we live in such a beautiful region with a lot of local foods. So there is that, you know, perception, but we also have a really great selection of more affordable items, even in the center store, you know, like dry beans. We have a bulk department that's really excellent, where you can just get a little bit and you're not paying for the branding and the packaging. So we really do try to be competitive in terms of what we offer, and we try and be accessible as much as we can.
What kind of programs and services do you offer to stay accessible to shoppers of all income levels? I mean, you mentioned everyday low price. What other things do you have?
We also offer a community discount program. So if you have use of SNAP, you can also sign up. I'm not 100% sure what the discount is currently, but that's something that you can, you know, ask your cashier when you come through the line, and we do offer that as a supplement to the SNAP dollars.
Is that popular?
It is popular, and I think it's something that's really important because part of our function as a co-op is that, you know, it is one of our principles that we have a commitment to our community. And, you know, taking that hit on the bottom line in order to make food more accessible is core to our whole business. As much as that seems contrary to running a business, it's super important that we do what we can to, you know, make what we carry accessible.
You mentioned that there can be some advantages to being independent. I mean, has it been an advantage in challenging times like these, being just kind of, you know, a single grocer locally and member owned?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, because we're so small, we're able to be nimble and choose very carefully which vendors we work with. We're able to work with partners that meet not only our business goals, but also kind of our ethics. We try and really work with local folks as much as we can and, you know, keep that money in the local economy. And I think we're, you know, we're during COVID times, we were definitely more nimble than, say, a Whole Foods, because we're able to pull from so many different vendors. You know, we don't have a corporate office dictating who we work with and when. So there is that factor of, like, we have access to a much wider variety of a vendor than a larger chain does.
And you were brought on to the Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op back in 2021. I mean, but you have more than a decade of experience when it comes to co-ops. But given that you were brought on in the thick of the pandemic, we're now, you know, 5 years, you know, past 2021, of course, but grocery prices are still going up. I mean, are there still challenges present from the pandemic that you're dealing with today?
Absolutely. The supply chain is absolutely still disrupted. We still see, you know, access to packaging is very difficult still, both for us as a food producer in our deli, and also, you know, I'll have a vendor say, oh, I can't get my glass bottles for another week. That sort of thing was way more rare before COVID. I think that in general, the supply chain, especially in the food industry, is still very shaky. And then we also see more recently really interesting disruptions based on fads. So,
like on social media?
Yes. Yeah. So if something, you know, goes viral, like the Good Culture cottage cheese or the Strauss milk, the producers don't have the capacity to meet demand. And so that causes all kinds of interesting trickle downs in terms of what we can get as an independent versus, you know, what a larger chain has access to. So it's pretty complex. And you know, people don't realize that when, you know, the demand for something goes through the roof, that many producers just do not have the capacity to meet that demand. And so they have to pivot and either stop making other things or limit who gets to buy what they're offering.
Yeah. So it's like too much of a good thing.
Exactly.
Finally, <Yes. laughs> I mean, given that, like, you get to experience and see, you know, a lot of factors that consumers and shoppers don't see, do you have any tips for shoppers when the next time they go to the co-op or to a grocery store to just help keep their grocery bills down?
Yeah, most grocers, this is probably, people know this intuitively, but often there's like a high-low assortment. And so if you look at the bottom shelf, that's where the generic stuff is. That's where the private label is. And in my experience, you know, the more simple the ingredients, the less expensive the item will be. And, you know, like I said before, really shopping the perimeter. So focusing on ingredients rather than something that, you know, is totally processed and ready to go, I think is the best way to get really high quality food that is less expensive. Mm. In general, I mean, shopping the ingredients and, you know, creating something at home or even on your desk at work, I think is the most direct path to continuing to have access to high quality stuff.
Is there like a generic brand for co-ops?
Yes, we carry, it's called Field Day, and it looks generic. Most of their packaging is white. And it was a brand developed between National Cooperative Grocers, which is a co-op's co-op. So they offer us business services and supply chain brokering and things like that. So this line's been around for a long time. You'll probably see it at other independents, but it was primarily developed for co-ops. Everything is organic. The packaging is terrible, but the food inside is really good. And in our store, we set all of the retails probably 10% lower than anything else in that category, which means it's, you know, really good quality. It's more accessible than most other items. financially. And it's so it's developed by UNFI, which is United Natural Foods Incorporated. And they, so we have a pretty clear line in terms of transparency. We know who's making that food. And it's not out there to be a profit generator. It's out there to offer affordable organic product, you know, in packaged. So crackers, cookies, spaghetti sauce, pasta, all the basics at a considerably lower cost.
All right. Field day. Nova, thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Nova Weatherwax is the Director of Merchandising at the Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op. That's a member-owned grocer that's been in the city for more than 50 years. We've been talking about the rise in grocery prices. We did reach out to about a half dozen surrounding grocers and supermarkets of various sizes. They either declined to come on the show or did not respond to our request. Still ahead, if you're looking to beat the heat with some good storytelling, we have you covered. We'll meet the featured authors of this month's CapLit reading. It's taking place Friday in Midtown. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.